Glory to God. Hallelujah to the King. How many's breathed out threatenings this week? Don't raise your hand. Oh my, how many's temperature has rose with the temperature? How many have said some unkind words this week? Don't raise your hand. Now you kind of know where I'm headed, aren't you? Praise God. Yeah, the breath that God has given us, the life that He's given us, how do we use it? How do we use it? Praise God. Woo! The opportunity that you and I have on the face of this earth to use the atmosphere that we breathe in for goodness, for kindness. Woo! Hallelujah! For patience, for long suffering, for words of edifying. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't even started preaching yet. Glory. Just some of the basics of Christianity. Oh, what a change in my life. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to the King. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. The only three we have here. How's it going? Grant, how's it going, Addison? How's it going, Titus? Camp was a week ago. How's it going? Still on fire? Still got desire? Fighting the devil? Yeah. Fighting the flesh? Yeah. Yeah. Where's Titus? I didn't see him. Oh, okay. There's Addison. Well, hello, Addison. How are you? How's it going? Woo. Oh, yeah, I see that look all the time. I see it in school a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter number 1. Amen. We'll move on here tonight with the message. Hallelujah. But whether you realize it or understand it or not or grabbed anything I've already said, it does go along with the message. Praise our God. Titus chapter number 1. Going to begin reading at verse number 1. Wow, I've been trying to preach this for 3 times. Praise the Lord. So that means it's got 3 times as long. Amen. I hope you brought your midnight snack. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. That's why we do it, Sister Ellen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Titus, chapter number 1, verses 1 through 5 for our opening text here tonight. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Praise be to our God. You can be seated again this evening. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. You know, it means something to you and I, or it means something to me, when Paul just makes a statement, this is Paul, the servant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth. This is how you're going to know what truth is, which is after godliness. Truth is something that's going to help you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus Christ. That's what truth is all about. Truth is after godliness. Truth is something that's going to go contrary to my flesh, contrary to the world, contrary to the devil. Truth is always going to be after godliness. In other words, changing my life into the image of Christ. Changing my life into Christianity. Amen. Just because I've started in the race doesn't mean I've finished the race. I am running the race that is set before me. I am running the race that I might obtain the prize. I am running the race that I might be conformed into the image of Christ. That's what the race is all about. That's what winning victory is all about. Victory is not just for my own blessing. Victory is for the benefit of everybody else around me. Everybody else around me. So that I can help somebody else walk with God. Be victorious. That's what victory is all about. It is going to be a blessing for me. It is going to be strength for me. It is going to be a closer walk for me. But it's not just for me. And if you can understand tonight that Christianity is not all about you, it is all about Jesus Christ and everybody else. The part you play is walking with God. The part you and I play is being adorned with doctrine. Adorned with doctrine. Adorned with truth. Putting on the truth of an almighty God when it comes to our knowledge. Hallelujah. I mean, all through tonight, I've been talking to you just a little bit about making those choices. Hallelujah. About that kindness and what I'm using my breath for. Hallelujah. I realize those things that I asked you, woo, sometimes they come upon us before we realize they have. Hallelujah. Sister Sarah was making mention of grace today, and down around our house today was a day of disaster. That was the words of Sister Pepper. I was walking through the house with my little giant, headed for my great room that the lights are way up there, about 10 foot tall, and all the rest of the house only has 8 foot ceilings. And I come in the back door that comes off the pool patio and had my little giant in this arm, you know, and I thought I was doing good, and I was, and I walked right through our area there, and there's a ceiling fan right there in that room, right in the middle of that room, and I just breeze in, and I'm marching on, you know, like I'm headed on a mission. And Sister Pepper's in that same room, and she says, "Oh my, you just missed that light by a half inch." I said, "Whoa, well, at least I missed it." I'm just marching on right up through the kitchen, right into the dining room, and right into the great room. And about the time I get halfway through the dining room, there's a big crash, and I just keep walking. I didn't miss that light. And then just a little while later, while Sister Pepper was making dinner, things started smelling funny. I like it charcoal. I like it charcoal. Praise God. Smoke began to kind of fill the aroma of the room. Yeah, so it was a day of disaster. Day of disaster. Woo. So how did that make you feel, Brother Pepper? I just went and got a box and started picking up glass. My temperature didn't rise today. It's hot enough outside the way it was. I didn't need any more heat. Man, see, you know, sometimes there's days of disaster, and it's difficult sometimes to use our breath wisely. Hallelujah. Woo. And so Paul was writing to Titus, and he was writing to Titus to greet him, refresh him, and then remind him. Verse number 5 says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things
that are wanting.
How many remember the story in the Old Testament about the writing on the wall? Belshazzar is having a party. I think that's, if I remember correctly, it's not in my notes, so I'm getting older and sometimes I don't remember correctly, so if I say it wrong, just pull me aside after church and correct me. Praise the Lord. Not in a hateful way, not in a mean way, but you know, just enlighten me. There we go. Enlighten me fresh and anew. He was having a party, and it was the wrong kind of party, and he thought he was really going to be something and went and got all the things of the house of God to include them in his party. And you remember, I'll just make a long story short, the writing, handwriting on the wall. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. That means you're coming up short, you're not doing right, you shouldn't have done what you did. Okay, so now, Titus had the commission from Paul to set in order things that are wanting. The areas that the church wasn't doing right, the attitudes the church had that wasn't right, that wasn't after godliness. I mean, are you getting the picture? This, oh my, he had quite a job to do, didn't he? Oh, praise God. To go around to all the churches preaching and setting in order how everybody's supposed to be living their lives. Oh, you just thought that was meddling, didn't you? No, that was command of God. That's what God wants his preachers to do. He wants us to proclaim truth, which is after godliness, to change our lives, to change our ways of thinking, to change the ways we conduct ourselves, to change the way we allow certain attitudes to grip our minds and grip our tongues. I mean, we're to set that in order, because that just means we've been found wanting. Now, I've found through the years that when the preacher preaches, it doesn't really bother me, and I enjoy it until he starts preaching down my row. Till he starts preaching where I'm living. Till he starts preaching about the attitude I had today. Woo, praise God. Wait a minute now. I don't know if he's got it tonight or not. Praise our God. I'm preaching on adorned with doctrine, which means Not put it on, but putting it on. You know, we can all put on things, you know, like that. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling great, and we feel terrible. You know, that's put on. Heard that? That's what Facebook's all about, putting on face. You know, I can put on like everything's okay when everything's okay. I'm talking about putting something on. Hallelujah. And it begins to beautify my life. Woo. Don't you want a beautiful life? Or do you want an ugly one? It's your choice whether you and I can have a beautiful life or it'll be an ugly life. You know, it's according to what you and I adorn ourselves with. To adorn is used of that which adds to the beauty of something by gracing it with its own beauty. Wow. It's an old, wretched sinner that gets to put on Jesus Christ. Whew. Just an old, ugly, wretched sinner that gets to put on that beautiful holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ that will add to our beauty. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about worldly things here. I'm talking about spiritual things here. Hallelujah. Oh, when God comes to set in order the things where I am wanting or I am lacking, he is just simply asking me to put off my rags of sin and put on that glorious king's robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness is no more than obedience to the godliness that God reveals to me and I accept it. And by accepting it with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, isn't that what? To love God, isn't that the first commandment? So really when God's word comes my way, that's God talking to me. And he wants me then to take what I've been doing and cast it away. Hallelujah. On what he just showed me about his word. Woo, adorned with doctrine. Now, I don't know if it's done so much anymore, but I remember when I first got saved, there was a movement going around, and maybe you fell into it, I don't know. But I mean, this has probably been 20 years ago, 25, 30 years. Well, I'm getting old, aren't I? Got saved when I was 23. 1983, yeah, I'm an old model. Retro. But you know, sometimes retro comes back. Woo-hoo. He's God. Hallelujah. But I remember when I first got saved, there was a movement going around, and it may still be going around. I'm not for sure. More than likely, it probably is. It's time to throw out doctrine and be led by the Spirit of God. What are you, an idiot? The Spirit of God is doctrine. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is truth. Doctrine is no more than the truths of the kingdom of God. So here they were saying, let's throw out the truths of the kingdom of God and be led by the Spirit. What Spirit do you want to be led by? That was my question. That's what I responded to him with. Because the Holy Ghost is going to lead you into sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is just simply teaching. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Paul was telling Titus to do. Go and set in order that which is wanting. What was he going to do? He was going to go preach sound doctrine. Hallelujah. I'll get to it here in a minute. It's in my notes and it's in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So basically, we want to be adorned with the truth of God. We want to put on the truth of God. In 1 Chronicles 16 and 29, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's the beauty we want to have. We want to have the beauty of holiness. And the beauty of holiness is found in the Spirit of God leading our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is the beauty of holiness. Dressing right ought to just be known. Shouldn't even have to call dressing right holiness. Dressing right is what you do when you get saved. Dressing right is what God did for Adam and Eve when he intervened with their feeble attempt of dressing when they found out they were naked. Getting saved ought to change our wardrobe just automatically. But the beauty of holiness is when the Spirit of God is filling my life with love. That love of God. That love of God is that mindset of God. That mindset of God is, we used to sing, it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody except everybody I want to hate. Woo! Makes me love everybody. Oh, but you don't know what they did. Makes me love everybody. Woo, that beauty of holiness is when I can love without condition. When I can forgive without condition. That's the greatest epitome of love is forgiveness. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary so that our sins could be forgiven. The greatest response or the greatest thing that could be seen is giving ourselves for the sake of someone else. That's what you do when you forgive. You're not having your way. You're letting God have His way through you. That is adorning doctrine. Praise our God. See, that's, ooh, glory to God. It's not something we can just shout about because it says it. It's something that we can shout about when we do it. Praise our God. Hallelujah. And so to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness is to worship God by doing those things that He would do. In any given situation I must find myself in this old wretched world. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Glory. I have to put on the new man. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes garments somehow shrink in the closet. You ever notice that? Either that or I've been working too hard, one or the other, and just don't fit. You ever had that trouble, Brother Mackey? Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that one ain't going to be any good anymore. Oh, my. Sometimes it's hard to put on righteousness, isn't it, Brother Mike? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like it's fitting like it used to. Sometimes it's not as easy as it used to be. You know, we go through times in our Christianity where robe of righteousness and we put on that kindness. And then all of a sudden somebody really, really does something that gets our soul. All of a sudden that robe of righteousness. I don't think I can do it. Just too hard. Just too hard. I can't get it on. Woo. Anybody been there besides me? Oh, yeah. No, that's too hard. I just can't do that. You don't know what they've done to me. Oh. Go ahead and pull the cross out and get nailed on it. Hallelujah. And get crucified fresh and anew. Pray through. Hallelujah. To where you put on that robe of righteousness for the King. For that one that you need to be a witness to. Woo, this is rough. This is tough. Oh, how many times have we said, oh, that's just too hard. I just can't do that. Brother Pepper, you might be able to, but I just can't do that. What is that? We're Philippians chapter 4, maybe? Verse 11? Am I right? I can do all things through Christ. Is it 13? Nobody remembers either? Wow. Let's find out. Has anybody found it? I know you're looking. I saw you looking. 13. All right. That is halfway in between 11 and 16. Praise God. God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So anytime you come up with that word, I can't, realize it's either the flesh, the world, or the devil. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, Titus chapter 1, verse 16, Paul is talking about the ones Titus has got to go preach to. Now catch this with me. Titus 1, verse 16, and they profess that they know God. I'm pretty confident. If I said, everybody in here that knows God, raise your hand. Okay. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Uh-oh. Don't raise your hand. How many has denied him by doing an act that you shouldn't have done this week? Don't raise your hand. So you profess you know God. So how well was your behavior this week? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Oh my, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Woo! What's that mean? That means they don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. I'm just talking to you out of the book of Titus here tonight. Whoa. So they profess that they knew God, but in actions, it shows they don't really know God. Because if they knew God, they wouldn't act like that, would they? Whoa. But that's why Titus came. That's why he was coming to that church. So that they might really come face to face with God. Hallelujah. I'm persuaded that there is a lot of people in churches in a lot of places that really don't know God. They just believe God's real. They believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They believe Pentecost is right. But they've never died at Calvary. They've never surrendered themselves to God. They just want God on their terms instead of taking God on His terms. Ooh. Because when you take God on His terms, you get a new creature created after Christ Jesus, and you are determined to put Him on. That's the fight of faith. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we get this fight in the devil backwards. Shouldn't have to fight the devil at all. Because you got a new man. You got a new creature in Jesus Christ. He has no effect on that new man. None whatsoever. So if I'm putting on the new man, devil ain't going to mess with me. Because he knows he has no business with me, and he has no sway with me. Because I have chose to put on the new man. But if I take that new man off when I walk in the door of my house, I hang him on the coat rack, hallelujah, and now I'm my own man. And I do what I want to do. And it's going to be done my way. Woo! The devil is right next to your ear, leading you astray. I'm not pointing at you, Brother Matthew. I'm sorry, I'm just pointing. Woo! I could have been pointing to Brother Rick or Brother Mike, too. So it, I just kind of seen that look on your face. No, Brother Matthew, I'm not just pointing at you. I'm just pointing. There we go. Praise God. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. I got to put on the new man. I got to keep him on. I've got to be adorned with doctrine. Hallelujah. That new man is strengthened and becomes greater and stronger as doctrine comes my way. See, if I had not known that it was wrong, it would not be sin. But when I know that it's wrong and continue on, the Bible declares to me that's when it becomes sin. That's when it becomes sin. And so it's one thing not to know any better versus the other, you already know what you're supposed to do and you choose not to. That's sin. That's sin. And so, man, how'd you like to have been Titus? Oh, my, the preacher that was going to set this in order. Oh, my. Woo! Maybe that's that evangelist. Maybe that's that revivalist. Maybe that's when that preacher comes for that time of revival and he begins to try to set things in order. Or it could be that elder that he ordained in all those churches. You see, Titus probably didn't have to do it all by himself. Because when he chose out elders, they were right on board with him. And so when he chose an elder and appointed an elder over that church, that same authority was there of Titus and of Paul and of Jesus Christ. And so then those pastors began to set in order things that were wanting. And that's really what church is all about. Believers, that's what Sunday school is all about. Sunday school should be one of your most favorite times of church, where you just get taught the Word of God in certain areas that you need to grow in and that you need to be strong in. We have too many that have this mentality, well, what I don't know, I don't have to do. Well, you better dig a little bit deeper into that mentality. That means you probably already know. And you're using that for an excuse. And excuses don't work with God, because He knows the intent, the heart. Hallelujah. And so we see then that they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. Be patient with me. The reality is, we all could do better than what we're doing. We really could. Yeah, a work in progress, as long as it's progressing. But if we're going around the same mountain, oh, how many times have we been around that mountain? How many times have we been back in that place? How many times have we had to fight this again? Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, let's go to higher ground. Let's quit walking around the base of the mountain at least, and let's get to the top of the mountain for a change. You realize it's going to be different at the top of the mountain than it is down at the bottom. You won't have to go around near as fast or near as many times. I mean, stop and think about it. You know, a mountain. If you're going around the mountain down at the base of it, you're going a long way around. But if you'll move to higher ground to get right up to the top where God's at, you don't have to go around a little bit and you've got it. Woo. See, things can take a long time or they can just happen. Depends on whether you're ready to go to higher ground or not. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Higher ground. Praise be to our God. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become a sound doctrine. Praise the Lord. I don't think we have a shortage of that in Calvary Lighthouse Church. I think we have a lot of sound doctrine coming our way. Amen. God is seeing to it. Titus chapter 2, verse number 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now Paul's talking to the preacher. You better make sure that you're the pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So, Paul's reminding him, you got to set this in order, but you need to make sure you're in order too. See, we're not exempt. Preacher's not exempt at all. We get it the same way you do. The fire of God burns down in our heart and in our soul. It's called Holy Ghost conviction. Hallelujah. The convincing power of God. And so he's saying, you know, you've got to have a hold of it too, Titus, having no evil thing to say of you. Then he moved on to verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This is where I got the title for the message tonight. The servants, obedient to their own masters. We use that for employee and employers in the hour we're living in, because we're not really servants or slaves, but we are employed by employers. And so we see then, he's telling them, just because you're a servant, you've got to learn to live for Jesus in that position. And so he said, you've got to make sure then that you obey what the boss tells you and that you do everything to do what they want done in a project, and you don't backtalk. You just do what you're told. And of course, you do it with all fidelity. And purloining means embezzlement. In other words, you take some for yourself and give the boss a little. You take some for yourself and give the boss a little. And so, you know, it's talking about someone that actually has some leeway of what they're doing to where they could actually cheat the boss out of some of his finances. So we don't cheat. We don't cheat in school. We don't cheat in sports. We don't cheat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what he's saying. Set this in order and make sure you're doing well so that you can actually stand strong for them. See, that's what he's trying to get it across the top. You're doing it to help the others. You're doing it to be a light to shine. You're doing it to show the way. You know, you're trying to be everything you need to be so you can help others be what they need to be. And that's, you know, that is this pastor's prayer. I mean, this is what I pray about. This is what I ask God about. God, I don't want to do it just for me. I want to do it for them. I want to do it for them. I want to live my life so I can help Weston, so I can help London, so I can help Sister Ellen, so I can help everybody else in between, so I can help Jansen, so I can help Alan. I want to live it so I can be a helper, an encourager, someone that will be there, be strong, so they can be strong. Hallelujah. That's what he was telling. That's what he's telling Titus. You got to be. And then, you know, encourage the church to be adorned with the doctrine of God in all things. You know, there's not enough pages in the Bible for all the thou shalt nots. For the child of God, it's not a matter about thou shalt not. It's a matter of, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I help in this situation? How can I be an encouragement in this situation? How can I be a light to shine in this situation? How can I... Are you getting the picture? It's not a matter of what do I have to do so I can go to heaven. What I have to do, what do you want to do to go to heaven? Do you want to be adorned with doctrine so that you can help somebody else make it there? Because if you're really bent on trying to help other people get to heaven, you got a sure thing going for yourself. Woo! You have made your election and your calling sure. Why? Because you have got a heartfelt determination to live for God, to help other people live for God, to help other people overcome, to help other people know that there is a great God of heaven that forgives us of our sins and changes our lives. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Those that are around us, those that we encounter. Praise our God. It's profitable not just for us, but it's profitable for all that are around us. When you and I adorn ourselves with the doctrine of God, with the truths of God, hallelujah, we are careful. That means we're mindful. We pay attention to what we're doing. We pay attention to what we're saying. We pay attention to how we're acting, because we want our actions to help someone know God, not turn from Him. How many people do you know that the reason they're not in church today is because somebody's bad action in church. Yeah, people you encounter say, well, I used to go to church, but you know, hey, you know, they didn't treat me right. I mean, they did this and they did that. I thought they were Christians. Whoa, they weren't talking about you, were they? Think about it. Think about it. Be mindful of our actions. Not afterwards. In the moment. Hindsight is always 20/20. After we do wrong, we always know we did wrong. Am I? I'm after what God's after. Is enough of the Spirit of God that I stop in my tracks. And I am careful to maintain a good work in this situation. That's what God's after. That's what the Spirit of God's after. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. It's just that proverbial, well, I know God to forgive me. Ah, yes. But that same grace and that same power of forgiveness can be had on the front side of a temptation. The same grace of God, the same power of God, woo, the same mercy of God can be found on the foreside of temptation, not the backside of temptation. You can find it in both places because God's a God of grace, but let's use that grace to maintain a good work. Be victorious. Overcome. Woo, so that others can see what God is doing in our lives. Praise God. If I'm always having to tell people what God's doing in my life, am I adorned like I ought to be adorned? Oh, I realize there's times we need to lift our voice and we need to witness to people, we need to share with people, we need to talk to people, we need to invite people. But there are times that they should just be able to see it and start a longing for it. Oh, I want what they got. They got a hold of something. I want what they got. Yeah, that needs to be there too. Praise God. This is a faithful saying. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus 3:14. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Everything about Christianity is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is being adorned with doctrine. Fruitfulness is when my actions and my behavior begins to change. Hallelujah. Oh, I mean, you know, the blessings of the Lord are wonderful, but the power of an almighty God to a transformed life is even greater. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That power of a transformed life. Glory. In Galatians 6 and 9, and I'm closing. Wow. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we grow weary. How many times should I forgive someone? Peter said, 7. God's perfect number. Ooh, how about 7 times 7? How many times do I forgive someone? I mean, you know, they're doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's like they always fall in that area. I mean, how many times they've treated me like this? I don't know how many times. How many times do I forgive them? Good question. I think really the whole message of the answer, you do it just like Jesus would do it. How many times has he forgiven you for the same thing? Yeah. Oh. See, sometimes it's hard to put on that robe. But let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, most of the time, we preach that about ministry, keeping the church alive and on fire, and you know, because sometimes that you get weary. There's a lot of work in keeping the church going. There it is. Wow, a lot of maintenance. Yeah, a lot of things to fix. Oh, a lot of floor to sweep. Oh, we got a lot of floor to sweep. Oh, bathrooms to clean. I mean, don't grow weary in well doing. You know, when we talk about bathroom cleaning and cleaning the church, don't grow weary in well doing. Woo, praise God. But it goes further than that. Don't grow weary in doing the right thing in the same circumstance, in the same circumstance, in the same circumstance. Don't grow weary doing right. Because in due time, that circumstance will change. It'll change. Sometimes it don't change like we want it to change, and that's the whole problem. We haven't yet put it in God's hands for it to change like He wants it to change. Ooh. What is that? Ah, that's me interfering with what God wants to do. Because I've got to do right regardless. Ooh. Sometimes that's the hardest one to do. Doing right regardless. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. You're never going to do wrong doing right. Could I have a piano player? That's profound, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
You're never going to do wrong doing right. It may not always be the easiest thing to do, but it will always be the best thing to do. Hallelujah. There's been circumstances of life that it would have been easier not to do the right thing. But it would not have been as power-packed as it was. Because when you do right, then God's on your side. Wow. I say that again. When you do right, then God's on your side. Hallelujah. That should be enough to keep me propped up, encouraged, to always do what's right in the circumstances I face in life. Because if I do right, then God's standing on my side. But if I do wrong, then God's there pointing the finger. And He has to start dealing with me to get me to doing right so He can help somebody else do right. Woo! Praise God. The proverbial. Who's going to be the first to apologize? Well, it better be you. You realize you's universal, right? Better be you, because it's right. It's not a matter of whether you're right or you're wrong. What's right in God's sight? That's what's right. Woo. I praise the name of Jesus, adorned with doctrine. It is a progress. Oh, a work in progress. You and I working, mindful, determined to maintain good works. Stand with me.